Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Revelation, chapter 21. In your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1351, 1351. We'll be reading verses 3 through 7. We'll read the verses responsively. The seventh verse is the text verse for this morning's message. We'll turn to one other passage after we finish with this one. Shall we stand, please, all of us standing for the reading of God's Word? And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And let's read the seventh together. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God. He shall be my son. Turn now to the book of James, page 1306, chapter 1, James chapter 1. Reading in unison, verses 2 and 3. Verse 2 is likewise a text verse for this morning's message. Let's read together verses 2 and 3. Ready? My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And let's pray. Father, we thank you that we have this opportunity to be in this place. What a great church. It's renowned, of course, throughout this nation and around the world. But we get to be a part of its function, a part of its services, day by day, week by week. We pray for your help for our preacher, also renowned around the world. And we pray that you'd use him today in a mighty way. Bless concerning our needs. And you've, of course, given to our preacher that which we should have from thy word, and we pray that you'd give us attentiveness and carefulness to hear and the willingness to do thy will and thy word in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want to preach to you from my heart this morning. I want you to listen to me very carefully. I want no one to walk out while I'm preaching. I want the ushers to see that there's no moving around in the back. And I want to preach to you this morning from my heart. 38 years ago next month, I became pastor of this great church. 37 years ago today, we voted on whether I would stay or leave. Been a year of hell on earth, battle to transform this church from a Bible believing but formal church into an old time religion, independent Baptist church. 37 years ago today, we pulled out of the American Baptist Convention. 37 years ago today, this church, you might say, became a fundamental independent Baptist church. There, the group that was here has dwindled. We've grown old together. Our crowd has, one by one, gone on to heaven. But I want to thank today, publicly again, the people that stood by me 37 years ago today. We have a few left. As I said, by the way, the ones that are left were either young people at the time or they were adults. They're now older people like I am. I'd like to ask all the people who were here 37 years ago today. I don't mean necessarily here in that service, but you're members of this church 37 years ago today. Would you stand, please? There's some left. I want you to see them. While you're standing, to hold your applause just for a second. While you're standing, I want to tell you how much I love you. I remember Mamie Brown back here. Her hair wasn't white then, and Mamie was a young lady then. She was president of a class in the church. The teacher pretty well hated my insides. And I recall Mamie stood up at class one day, and she said, "Now, I think we ought to give this young man a chance." And she stood in the class that was most opposed to me. She stood. I look back and see the Canavans and the Caricos, and I better not start calling names. But let me thank you. There wouldn't be any First Baptist Church like this today if it weren't for you. And I said this to a young man before the funeral of Mrs. Gordon the other day. You people here, you ought to thank God for these people that are standing this morning. There wouldn't be any Hiles Anderson College here if it weren't for these people right here. They stood by me and stood by this book 37 years ago today. And my heart is tender today because of it. God bless you. Now we give them a big hand, shall we? Brother Colston read a while ago for us, with us, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations." Let me paraphrase that by saying, count it all joy when ye fall into many types of trials. Divers comes from the word which means varied, and various trials, many types of trials. And then, of course, that amazing verse in Revelation 21:7, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things." Hey, that's a you won't beat that promise. That's a superlative. All things mean ain't nothing you won't inherit. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I want to talk to you for a while this morning on the subject, just simply the overcomer. Our Heavenly Father, bless me as I speak this morning. If the people whom I love like I love my life are fed today, you and I are going to have to feed them. And you have no voice but mine behind this pulpit this morning. So I pray you'd help me to be a conduit. Strengthen my people through this little conduit this morning. Flow through this little pipe this morning with living water. Speak to us, please. And if we, Father, help these people this morning, they're going to have to pay attention. I pray they will. Amen. Sit up straight. Listen carefully. I look this morning and I see people who've been through it. I saw Miss Burton back here. My eyes caught hers. Her daughter was taken in death just a few months ago. I see the Gordon family back there, buried their wife and mother yesterday. I see in this section right here, I see a man forsaken by his wife, took the children away, and he lost his wife and his children through no fault of his own. I see a lady forsaken by her husband. I'm just talking about this section right here. I see a person with cancer. I think this morning about so many. In fact, I made this statement, true statement, by the way. For 6 weeks in a row, ending a few days ago, 6 weeks in a row, that's 42 days, I heard of someone either who's passed away that's dear to me in this church or some dear friend, or someone who has an illness that's terminal as far as man's concerned and the medical profession's concerned, every day for 6 weeks. I live with people who hurt. I live with people who are sorrowing, and my good friend, Dr. Colston, does so more than I. But our ministry is built around people. And our word this morning to you is God has a special place in His heart for overcomers. No one is dearer to the heart of God, as I said, than the overcomer. This is proved by the fact that the greatest promises in this book are made to overcomers. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. Now, if I understand James chapter 1 and verse 2 properly, I'm supposed to rejoice when I have something to overcome. I'm supposed to rejoice when something happens to me that's, when I have various kinds of trials and heartaches. I'm not to complain. I'm to rejoice, the Bible says. I'm going to explain that verse this morning to you, that we're to rejoice and be happy when we have things to overcome. Follow me carefully. I said a while ago that there is no group in the Bible who have more promises or greater promises than the overcomers. For example, the church at Ephesus, a church that had left its first love. God, as he rebuked the church, he spoke to a few individuals there and said, to him that overcometh, he'll be able or privileged or I'll allow him to eat of the tree of life. That's about as good a tree to eat from as you're going to find. He said, him that overcometh. And then to the church at Smyrna in Revelation chapter 2, that persecuted church, he said, him that overcometh, he'll not be hurt with the second death. The second death is the lake of fire, the Bible says. That means if you overcome, you're not going to go to hell. That's what the Bible says. And then to that church at Pergamos, that worldly church, he said to him that overcometh, notice these great promises, him that overcometh, I'll give him a white stone, and in the white stone, a new name written. And then to that church at Thyatira, led by a wicked woman called Jezebel, he gave this promise to individuals, I will give power over the nations. Are you listening to me? I'm trying to tell you this morning that God gives special promises, and his greatest promises, not to those that pass to the big churches, not to those who are the most famous people, but those that overcome. God gives special promises to the overcomer. In I mentioned third church in Thyatira, says, I will give power over the nations. And that dead church that had a name to be alive but was dead at Sardis, he said to those that overcome, I will let you be clothed in white raiment. I'll have your name in the book of life forever and will never blot it out. You'll be confessed by Jesus before the Heavenly Father and his angel. Folks, you're hearing the greatest promises in this Bible. And the greatest promises in this Bible are to overcomers. God said, overcome. And he said, I'll tell the angels about it. I'll tell my Heavenly Father about it. He said, you'll be clothed in white raiment, and your name will be in the book of life forever and ever. What promises are given to the overcomer? To the church at Philadelphia, the best of the churches. He said, if you owe him that overcometh, I'll make him a pillar in my temple. I'll write upon him the name of God and the name of the city of God. I'll write upon him the name, turn me down just a bit please, to the name of Jesus Christ himself. Set up straight. Listen to me. These promises, even the church at Laodicea, the lukewarm church and probably the worst church of all, he said, if you overcome, I'll let you sit with Jesus in his throne. Now, I'm trying to, turn me down please just a bit. I'm trying to tell you, My desire this morning is not to explain the doctrine of these statements. I don't intend to teach you this morning the seven letters to the seven churches or the doctrinal implications of these promises to the overcomers. The thing I want to show you this morning is the premium that God places on overcoming. The fact that his greatest promises are to the overcomers. God places a premium the overcomers. Now, I want to say this also. If there's no obstacle, there's nothing to overcome. And congratulations, those of you that have special burdens this morning, you can become an overcomer. Congratulations, those of you who are handicapped this morning, you can become an overcomer. Congratulations to those of you who are deaf this morning, you are qualified to become an overcomer. Congratulations, you folks up in the homeless ministry. You can become an overcomer. Congratulations, those men in the rescue mission. You can become an overcomer. Congratulations, those in the Pathfinder department. You can become an overcomer. Congratulations, those of you that have laid to rest the dearest of life recently. You now are qualified to work to become an overcomer. And the greatest promises in all the Bible, God gives to overcomers. Nobody in the Bible, listen carefully. Nobody in the Bible is given a promise like this because he's pastor of the largest church in America. I was thinking this morning of the 11th chapter of Hebrews, that great hall of fame of faith. Just a list of overcomers. The people in Hebrews chapter 11 are not. In fact, there's only one king listed. That's King David. Nobody's listed because of title. Nobody's listed because of position. Everybody wants a position. Everybody wants a title. But in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, you got a former harlot listed, and only one king is listed. Overcomers are listed. Noah overcame the flood. Joseph overcame slavery. Moses likewise overcame slavery. Rahab overcame a horrible past. Jacob overcame a character flaw. Gideon overcame the Midianites. Daniel overcame the lion's den. Joshua overcame the heathen nations. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego overcame the fiery furnace. Samuel overcame being reared away from his parents. Enoch overcame the world. David overcame Goliath. I feel a bit sorry this morning for you people that have no burdens. I sympathize with you that have no heartache. And when the heartache comes, my Bible said, rejoice in it because you have fallen into diverse temptation. You now are capable, are qualified to become an overcomer. And the greatest promises in the Bible are given to overcomers. My great joy in the ministry. And I think anybody that knows me knows I'm a happy man. My great joy in the ministry is not the fact that I pastor the largest church in America. Nobody in America is preaching to a larger Sunday morning congregation than I am today. I don't rejoice in that. I do not rejoice. My great joy in my ministry is not that I'm founder and chancellor of the largest independent fundamental Baptist Bible college in the world. And I might add, the greatest college in the world. But that's not my great joy today. My great joy today is not that I'm pastor of the church that has the world's largest Sunday school. Though more people sat in Sunday school this morning in the classes of 800 classes of First Baptist Church of Hammond than any Sunday school in the world, that's not my great joy. My great joy today is not the fact that we own $55 million in all of our buildings and ministries and schools and all of it. We own $55 million worth of property. And the glory of God, we don't owe anybody one red cent. We're free of debt. Hallelujah. But that's not my great joy this morning. My great joy this morning is not that I've preached over 59,500 sermons. Within a few months, less than a year, I'll reach, if I can live that long and preach that long, over 60,000 times. I've stood behind pulpits and on platforms around the world and across America and preached that blessed book of God. I that's not my main joy this morning. My main joy is not the $15 million a year income of the First Baptist Church of Hammond and its affiliated ministries. My main joy this morning, my great joy, is when those denominational leaders said to me, "We'll see to it you never preach again." But I am. My great joy this morning is when I preached my first sermon. Mrs. Hiles was there. She didn't want to admit that I was her husband, probably. I lasted 3 minutes and preached that great exegesis entitled, "It Sure Is Hot in Here Tonight." Point number one, it's hot. Point number two, it's getting hotter. Point number three, and my conclusion, it's the hottest place I've ever seen in my life. I sat down, wept, I apologized to the people, lasted 3 minutes, apologized to the people. Deacon came by, looked at me, and he put his hand on my shoulder,
And he said, young man, I want to give you the best advice you've ever heard. I said, what is it? He said, you'll never make a preacher. But it did. My great joy this morning is when I went to Texas University in Arlington for a year. After I took courses in nothing but public speaking and speech. There I go. I flunked them all, as you can tell. I took courses in how to talk in public. You'll be old someday and hope folks laugh at you when you get old. I went to the dean of the college at the end of the semester and he said, Mr. Howells, I want to give you the result of your first semester. I understand you want to be a minister. I said, that's right. He said, this is my advice to you. A plumber, maybe. An electrician, perhaps. A preacher, never. But I am. Let me tell you something. Unless you've faced a hurdle and you jumped that hurdle, you don't know what I'm talking about. Unless you fought a battle and come out victorious in that battle, you don't know what I'm talking about. I want to talk to those this morning who have the heaviest burden, and I want you to do what James said. Rejoice! Why? I'll tell you why. You can become an overcomer, and the greatest promises in this book are given to overcomers. 37 years ago. And this is very tender to me. When the richest people in this town stood on that sidewalk out there, the richest man in this town, and he said, you'll not run those buses or we'll foreclose on the building. You'll not run those buses. We're sick and tired of all these little bus kids ruining our formal worship service. And I'll say it again. If I could, I'd ruin every formal worship service in America today and get some old-fashioned hellfire and brimstone preacher up there to hold up this book and tell God's people there's a God in heaven. And I'd put an altar full of sinners and the aisles full of people walking the aisle of a church in America. But the richest man in this town sat on that sidewalk out there. And he said to me, I represent the millionaires of this church. He said, those buses roll, we're all leaving. He said, one of us is a member of the family that's ahead of that big bank down there, the Calumet Bank, I guess the largest bank in the city at that time. And he said, they hold the papers on the church. You'll go bankrupt. We'll foreclose. And if those buses roll, we're leaving. Those buses did roll. They left. We're debt free. $55 million of property. We're debt free. God loves this old church here because God loves overcomers. The great joy of my ministry is when they said to me as a kid, you'll never make a paratrooper. But it did. Brother Colston, I remember they said to me, you'll never make it, son. I went out that first day and tried to run the obstacle course. I couldn't do anything. Had a 35-foot rope, had to climb. I climbed 2 feet. That big old wall, I couldn't get over that wall. I mean, I couldn't. I'd go out at night. Everybody else was asleep, and I'd practice that obstacle course. And I got to where I could climb that wall. And I got to where I could climb that rope. And I got to where I could run 10 miles a day without stopping. 19 times I jumped out of airplanes, and right there on that chest that day when they pinned that little pair of wings on my chest, I said, bless God, I did. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you got a heartache, you got a burden, hang in there. There's a God in heaven. There's a book that God has given you. There's a Holy Spirit that lives in you. Hang in there. God has special awards and rewards for those that overcome. A.B. Rutledge, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Marshall, Texas, said to me, because I took my stand, he said, you preach like that, you'll never have a big church. Dr. Rutledge? Or Dr. Rutledge? I do. I do. But if I didn't, I'd preach the same thing I preach. Oh, this morning, God loves the overcomer. God loves that man right back there in that wheelchair. So do I. Businessman fell off a scaffold, paralyzed himself from his chest down. God loves him, and God loves that woman sitting beside him too. They just keep on going. Saw him a while ago, looked out of the corner of my eye, and the choir sang a certain great line. He raised his hand and praised the Lord. God loves an overcomer. God loves that man right there. One of those eyes isn't real. But he hung in there. He's been through the fire. We thought we were going to lose him to death, and they still don't know what was wrong with him, but he stayed in there. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Victory's going to come, and overcoming is going to come, and God has a special reward to those who overcome. Battle after battle. Battle after battle. Battle after battle. My great joy this morning is not that I'm pastor of this church, but that I'm still here. Still alive. One of Dr. Bob Gray's members down in East Texas was out soul winning. Went to talk to an old man. He said, "Are you a Christian? You know if you died you go to heaven?" He said, "Yeah, I sure do. Years ago, young preacher came by and got me saved. His name was Jack Hiles. I don't know where he is. Probably dead." Dr. Gray's member said, "No, he's not dead." He said, "He must be an old man now. Is he still alive?" "Yeah. Quite alive, thank you. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, we have already come. 'Tis grace has led us safe thus far, and hallelujah, grace will lead us home." Hang in there. Hang in there. So I thank God today is for battles. Without the battles, there are no victories. I thank God for hurdles. Without the hurdles, there are no laurels. I thank God for obstacles. Without obstacles, there'd be no garlands. I thank God for wars. Without wars, there are no medals. I thank God for enemies, because with no enemies, I cannot love them. My enemies and obey the command of God. I thank God that I've been hit on the cheek because if I've never been hit on the cheek, I couldn't turn the other cheek. Thank God today for being cursed, because if I had not been cursed, I could not bless those that curse me. I thank God today that I've been despitefully used, because if I had not been despitefully used, I could not pray for those who despitefully use me. So this morning, if you're facing the battles, the heartaches and the burdens, congratulations. You're qualified to be eligible to be an overcomer. I see a heap of you this morning. I looked out and I saw the Gordon family. Look out in the audience and I'll find somebody like a Trina Staten, who laid her 26-year-old husband in the grave just the other day. A Mrs. Evans, who heard recently that her cancer's worse. A Randy Rogers. The Penley family back there. Not John's family, but Elgin Penley, who's fighting to stay alive. Mrs. Burton, I saw. And others. So deaf folks, don't complain. Rejoice. Mission men, don't complain. Rejoice. Bus kids, don't complain. You have an opportunity that the drive-in kids don't have. Abandoned wives, don't complain. Rejoice. You can become an overcomer. One-parent children, don't complain. Rejoice. You can become an overcomer. Less talented one, rejoice. You can become an overcomer. Handicapped one, rejoice. Glenn Cunningham had polio and became America's mile champion and record holder back when I was a young man. Franklin Roosevelt was crippled and became president of the United States. Bill Clinton is retarded and he became president of the United States. Fanny Crosby was blind but filled our songbook with grace. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, written by an overcomer. In fact, most of that songbook was written by overcomers. Or even if you have a past of which you're ashamed, you still can overcome. You qualify. Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? No, I must fight if I would gain. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. It's an old story. I share it with you this morning. Use it. I've used it three or four times in these years. When I was a young man, I preached at Bob Jones University. When Dr. Bob Sr. was alive, Dr. Bob Sr. and I were very close friends. In fact, on his deathbed, he called for me, and I flew down and spent some time with him while he was on his deathbed. When I was down preaching with Dr. Bob Jones Sr., Dr. Bob Jones III was just a college student at the time. One day he asked me if he could drive me to lunch. The dining hall was a couple of city blocks, I guess, away from the chapel and or so. But he asked me if he could drive me to lunch. He put me in, I think, his Plymouth car and drove me to lunch. Before we got out of the car, he said, "Dr. Hounds, I'd like to say something to you before we get out." I said, "What is it?" He said, I envy you. I envy you. I said, "Why would Dr. Bob Jones III envy me?" He shot me. He said, "I envy you because your dad was an alcoholic." I said, "You're trying to tell me that Bob Jones III, the grandson of the great Dr. Bob Jones Sr., is envious of a little old ghetto-bound boy reared in a drunkard's home?" "That's right." He said, "Everybody expects me to be a success. And everybody's expected me since I was born to be a success. And nobody expected you to be. I envy you." I got out of that car, went to lunch. I was 10 feet tall. I said, "Praise God. I love you this morning. I've been with you 38 years. I've stood with you when your children disappointed you. I stood with you when your wife left you. You lost everything. I've stood with you when you came in and your husband had forsaken you and run off with somebody else. I've stood with you beside the casket. I've stood with some of you in court when you were in trouble. I just want to say this morning to those that have the heaviest load, congratulations. You're eligible to enroll in the Overcomers Club. For he that overcometh shall inherit all things." Our Heavenly Father,